as here we are, Cover 3 Athletics 2021 Whipple Football Season Preview, Breakdown, whatever you want to call it. As of course, our season guide's coming out, full PDF, free, via our website, as it's out there, so enjoy it, or it will be soon, depending on when you're listening to this. But we're just going to do a little quick podcast blurb to break down each class, to make it fun, something different. So, Class 5A, the deepest in the Whipple, and possibly the state, let's talk about it. So, three conferences, six teams each, top four from each make the playoffs, so it's a 12-team field this year. And yeah, let's not waste any more time, so let's start chatting. So, the Allegheny Six, it's Moon, USC, Peters Township, West A, South Fan, and Bethel Park. Woo. What a load. This is a case where you have six teams that if you move any one of them to a different conference, or put them in Class 4A or 3A or whatnot, they're going to be at the top. They're going to be one of the title contenders. It's not even going to be a question. But you putting them all six together, they beat each other up. You have a case of four or five, maybe six legitimately decent, good teams when guaranteed two miss the playoffs and they're going to have a not-so-great-looking record. So, let's talk. So, Moon Tigers. They're 2 years removed from taking 5A by storm when they made a surprise run deep into the playoffs. This, of course, and then last year, they won four games, still missed the postseason. Now you come back to 2021. You have a group of over 20 seniors, plenty of experience. They're battle-tested. They're talented. It's go time for the Tigers. And they're for real because you look at the trenches, it's where it starts. You have a four-year starter, Jake Bumgardner, leading the group. You have another three-year starter in Trent Fraley. You have Anthony Dimes and Aiden Mazaraku. Apologize if I mispronounced that. So you got four veterans in the trenches doing it both ways for teams to run the ball and get their identity. If there's any question about that, week zero at Seneca Valley, this team pounded the rock. They out-physicaled the Raiders. They dominated the game. They controlled the game, literally keep away, but effectively. And that's when won the game. And then their defense was also phenomenal. And you look at, you have Dante Dokio, who's back at tight end. He also is a linebacker. Ben Bladel, he'll get some carries, but he stars as the top pass rusher for 3 years now for Moon. And actually, a four-year starter, my apologies. So again, you have Ben Bladel, Bumgarner Fraley, and Dokio bolstering the pass rush for that Tiger defense. Skill positions are in good hands. Tyler McGowan, senior quarterback, he started all last year. He took over the job midway as a sophomore, so this is his third year with the job. He's ready to roll. Dylan Sliva, known as the middle linebacker of the defense, now he's going to be the lead running back as a bell cow. Jeremiah Dean, he's the top option to throw the ball to. He's also going to get carries, and he's also a leader in the secondary. And then you have Tate Beachy, Jalen Broxy, both guys that really aren't well known, but both guys that can see taking passes and expanding the offense a bit. Another three-year starter in the defense, in the linebacker core next to Sliva, is Ryan Hazen. And then two juniors that could add to the front seven are Cole and Caden Newhouse. And then the younger Bladel, Josh, is a sophomore. He should maybe get some time this year. And then Rocco Sinatra is another guy that can make an impact for the Tigers defensively. So again, Moon, you have all the pieces. It's there. It's a really well-built team. The only question is, can they stick together and can they do it week in, week out, especially in this conference when, you know, in the World Cup for soccer, they always have a group labeled the group of death. This is the group. Can you come out on top and then have enough in the tank to go make a run in the playoffs? Upper St. Clair, Pierce Township, they become their... I mean, USC is one of the blue blood programs in the Whipple. It's been that way. And then Pierce Township, the last, I think, 5 years it's been with TJ Plack, time flies. But they've emerged as one of the top teams in the Whipple. And we'll talk about Pierce Township first. Through the last 3 years, they've gone 30-5. With a semifinal loss and two title game losses under the resume. So it was the third time as a charm for Peters Township. But the majority of that cast who was part of that has graduated and moved on. So there's still plenty of talent. The hunger is even more so. But how's it plan out? Is Nico Pate and Luke Petrarca, they're both back to anchor the defense as linebackers. And they're going to split care as they will split carries. I'm sorry, as Pat will be the leading rusher as he was a year ago. Petrarca will be a tight end. And then in front of them on defense is Dante Lehet and Anthony Brunette. They're going to power the lines both ways. Well, then Sam Miller and Jake McCosko, they're going to become leaders in the secondary. But more about them, as Sam Miller, a senior, he's now going to be the quarterback. And then McCosko is his top receiving option. Bryce Thompson, another player that's going to step up to a bigger role as the number two receiver. And then there's a few other upperclassmen trying to join the line group. But then a breakout candidate is last year. As last year, Braylon Carrington broke out as Aussie picking off all those passes in a short period of time for the Indians, and as a playmaker on offense. A guy to maybe look at that could replicate that is junior Brendan McAuliffe. A guy can maybe start in the secondary and make some plays or be a receiver. So Peters Township, you have veterans, you have guys, but the question mark is Sam Miller, quarterback. Do you have enough as well? And then a team that struggled to throw the ball last year, how do you do that this year in 2021? And then another player to watch out for the Indians is Ethan Kirsch. The guy scored 3 rushing touchdowns in week 0. You see what type of role he'll fit in terms of the run game and somewhere in the front 7 on defense. So again, they got plenty of talent. They got guys who can step up, but do they put it together? Especially in this conference, there's no room for error. Now we get to Upper St. Clair. As of course, a year ago was the Dom and Pantella show. It took them far, but also they would have, when they wanted to go more so. They come into this year, year 3 under Mike Junko, and they're trying for a 22nd straight trip to the playoffs, which they should be able to accomplish. As like I said, Gons Dalem, Gons Pantelis, there's big holes to fill, but a strong and deep senior class with some talented juniors should have no issue doing so. As of course, starting off as a junior stepping into a new role is Brady Erdos, who takes over the quarterback position, and people say he's similar to Dalem, but just hasn't had a chance to show it yet. His top target's going to be Mateo Sapulio, who's now a 3-year starter, and then Aiden Besselman, who broke out as a sophomore last year. As the duo of Sapulio and Besselman will also anchor the secondary on defense. And then a senior that can be looking for a breakout role is Nick DeRubius. But then, of course, the run game, which USC is a staple by, you have senior 3-year starter Ethan Heaster, and then junior J.B. Brown, who kind of came onto the scene last year. Expect more out of him this year. And both of them will be in the middle of the defense. And then junior Mark Bamberry is a 3-year starter that's going to power the trenches with senior Marcus Fennell, with a couple other guys that have been around for a little bit. And then you have Heaster, Brown, and Brady Petusik out of the linebacker spots. Junior Ivory Travers can move all over the defense, whether it's front 7 or in the secondary. He's all over the place. He also could be a guy that carries the ball at times. So can you see a deep team, spread out talent-wise, can they get over the hump, though, and make a deep run? It's been a while for them, too. Then you have West Allegheny, Bethel Park, two programs that are used to winning, that are up there. They've had head coaching changes the last couple years, and they haven't experienced the same type of success. West Day, they come back, though, and they have a lot on offense. Gavin Miller, third-year starter, quarterback, can he have another big year through the air? His top receiver is back in Jay Sean Spencer. You also have Nick Longo and Brennan McClafferty, guys who are expected to step in and be part of the air raid the West is trying to do. Nolan Tracy's a talented junior who's played 2 years already. He's going to become the leading runner. He also is a good pass catcher, and he's a good corner. And then Devin Zarwis is going to be a tight end contributor on offense as well as be a front seven on defense. And then the line's going to have Nathan Toner and Shane Tuthill leading that. Defense is 7 starters back, as Spencer, Miller, and junior Nico Taddy are in the secondary. Tracy actually goes to linebacker. He's going to move to linebacker this year. And then Westday is a freshman to keep an eye on, and Brock Cornell. You look at the Indians, something funny too. Quarterback Gavin Miller, tight end linebacker Darwin Zuros. Both are star baseball players. That's kind of the funny thing of how this played out, but so I say this should be exciting to watch, and if the lines hold up, the defense is better and improved, you know, with some veterans and guys who can sling it, they can have low-key one of the more exciting offenses in 5A. You look at Bethel Park, last year it was winless. Is 2021 the comeback season for the Bethel Park football program? This was the first time they missed the playoffs in 20 years. Now they have a nice core coming back. Is it still a young roster, but they have experience?
And enough that, I mean, there's enough that it can go first, worst to first. Of course, week zero against my lemon was a disaster, losing 28-0 at home. But it's week zero. As 20 players, I'm sorry, as Bethel Park has 23 players that made multiple starts last year, 20 of them are juniors, so, you know, if not this year, maybe going forward to next year, but you'd like to see him progress. But two seniors, quarterback, young Sussex commit Max Block, and his classmate Troy Full Patty, as Full Patty's been a 3-year starter, a running back, and a star defensive back for them. But then you got some juniors. Gavin Maul is a linebacker. He can do it all on offense. Jason Nurridge is a wideout and defensive back. Jack Kirchner is a senior receiver that looks for a little bit more of a role this year. And then you just have a bunch of seniors and juniors on the line that have been mainstays, mainly Braden Del Duca, Colby Goltz. And then a couple other juniors, Aiden Curry, Austin Kay, both of them looking to make an impact this year. And then some other guys that are juniors, Jeremiah Hamilton, Denary Clax, Jack Riley, will try to get in the secondary as well. So Bethel Park, again, guys who have experience, have tasted varsity, but what combinations work, and when is it going to translate to wins on the field? So we'll see how long that takes. And again, this conference, there's literally no weeks off. It's kind of hard to learn on the fly. So it's a matter of just trying building it up and getting consistent, but trusting your senior leaders to hold the fort down and have the other guys get more experience. And who knows? You know, maybe by conference play, you get Bethel Park look like a different team from what we saw last Friday, and then maybe they'll be ready. I mean, you just don't know. And then last but not least, South Fayette. Of course, the Lions, they've become a premier program in the Whip Eagle for over a decade under Joe Rossi, trying to make the playoffs for a 13th straight year. But it might be a jeopardy because you have a young team, and kind of for the first time in a while, you don't have a landmark quarterback that's there that you could just rely on and say, okay, this guy's going to light it up and they'll be fine because of it. But again, Joe Rossi doesn't lose. They hope to reload, not rebuild in 2021. But gone is the leading passer, rusher, and top four wideouts from last year's playoff team. Only 5 starters are back. And the only offensive veteran is senior lineman John Lesk. So you wonder what this looks like. But the new quarterback is senior Landon Lutz, who again has been around, was in competition with Alamana the last 2 years. He came up short. Now it's finally his time. In week zero, he looked good. The offense came through. The defense had a shutout. But who's he throwing to? Senior Connor Harkarik goes from running back to receiver to get more touches. Logan Yeater and Sam Rosado are his top three. Nate Deans is a sophomore superstar. Made his name as a defensive back, but he's versatile. And expect him to be the lead rusher this year and also a pass catcher. Junior Christian Brandy will be a guy that gets carries, gets passes thrown his way. But then, so you look at the question mark, though. How does Lutz fare against tougher competition, as well as an inexperienced line? How does that play out? Defensively, you have Keon Johnson, who's one of the better pass rushers in 5A. He's there to lead the line. He'll be blocking this year as well. The front seven, though, is a mix of experience and inexperience. It's a Karik. He's going to be the middle linebacker. Rosado joins him in the middle. Junior Spencer Hundred and sophomore Michael Gimme Galeano. I tried my best on that one. They're going to try to get time in the front seven. And then Nate Deans leads the secondary. That you have Yeater, Brandy, and Junior Connor Sarah around him. So South Bay, just a matter of where they fit. And it's a case of four make the playoffs. And you can honestly look at this card and make a case for anybody to win it, anybody to lose it. Now, of course, you look at week zero and say, well, Bethel Park got shut out and they lost at home. Cross them off. South Bay looked really good. They shut out Montour. Elevate them. And that's okay to do that. Because, I mean, USC took care of business. Pierce Township took care of business. I thought they were impressive. West Day, I don't believe, played. And then Moon had the biggest win at Seneca Valley, and they dominated. I mean, so, you know, but it's also, you don't want to get too high, too low after week zero and early in the season. So, but you can make a case, you know, that any one of these teams can get hot at the right time. And that's what it's about. It's about avoiding injury, having solid line play, protecting the football, having your leaders, having your veterans step up and be consistent and do it at the right time of the year. And this, in a conference like this, that's what it comes down to. So we go from that, we shimmy to the Big East, which again, 6 teams being Gateway, Woody High, Penn Trafford, Franklin Regional, Connellsville, and Latrobe. So Gateway, the Gators, heavy favorites in the Big East. Arguably the favorite to win 5A this year. And there's a good reason why, because they got Jordan uniforms. They got the gold helmets. What's not to like? As Derek Davis headlined a senior class that graduated, it was a strong group. But you have been this year, you have plenty of talent back. You have a mix of battle-tested experience, as well as young guys that are chomping at the bit to get out there. And while headlining the Gators, Patrick Bodie. He broke out as a sophomore, followed up the good year last year. Now as a senior, he's going to Cincinnati. It's his time to take over. Defensive back, top receiver, he's there. As of course, they have to replace Davis as the do-it-all running back, as well as the guy in the back seven of the defense. As Jameer Harbor expects to be the number one option running it. But then junior Dallas Harbor, the guy who, I mean, this kid has a lot of potential. He's been banged up a little bit. Now as a junior, he's a guy, get the ball to him, see what he does in space. He'll be exciting to watch. But then a couple big shakeups that Gateway had in a positive way. Carson Anglica did a good job quarterbacking him last year. He moves the defense. He'll be a full-time cover guy. But he's also a guy that can be moved around offensive B, whether it's in the slot, out wide, get some carries, do some tight end play. He's a guy who just does whatever for his team. Love his character. Had a good time talking to him in our media day on Saturday. But also the big boost that made headlines, the talented Birch brothers transfer from Jeanette to Gateway. His senior brother, Brett Birch, standout receiver, playmaker in offense, very good guy in the secondary, plug him right in next to Body and company. And then the talented sophomore quarterback, Brad Birch, did good things as a freshman at Jeanette. Now he assumes the role as a sophomore in Gateway. A guy that may be a little bit raw, but give him in that system under Don Hall, get him going. I expect by the end of the season, playoff time, he's going to be looking phenomenal. And again, this could be sort of a really special career for him and under the Gators. So those two will be instant impact guys, obviously. Two of their seniors are poised for more of a role in linebackers, Malachi Moore and Aiden Smith. Both guys could do things in offenses. Moore should get some passes thrown his way. Smith could be a guy that takes carries and helps kind of what's going to be more of a timeshare this year in the backfield. As again, both are bust side Harbor in the middle of the defense. But then Hunter Dow is a talented lineman, two ways for the Gators, leading them. And they also get a boost with junior Matt Brooks transferring over from Kane and Mack, who had a really good year last year. So you get Dow and Brooks anchoring the Gator line. So who can compete with them? Who can beat them? How about their arch rival Penn Trafford? That's definitely the number one contender of the conference and arguably in 5A. As of course, the last decade under John Rain, Penn Trafford's become a premier program in the Whippiole. In 10 years, they've won 92 games, 5 conference titles. They've made the semis 4 times. They've reached 2 title games. The only thing missing is a championship, something that the program has never won. So this year, can they do it? Is this the group? Well, gone is Ethan Carr, Brad Ford, the Fry brothers, Chase Vecchio, and Cole Dara. So is this the year to do it? Yes, their hole to fills, but the Warriors are solid. They reload, not rebuild. And they have a team that could definitely be physical, tough, and make a run. And headlining it is 3-year starter Cade Yakimeli, one of my favorite guys in the Whippiole. This dude has worked his butt off to become where he is, going to Wisconsin, and he's the main guy in the offense this year to be the main ball carrier, as well as a star in the secondary of the defense. He also plays some linebacker. As it's been a key again is the trenches. The Warriors, Declan Ochendowski highlights a group that features Garrett Moorhead, junior Joe Enick, and sophomore Zach Tomasovic. The four of them also boast with a pass rush on defense. It's a good, deep, strong veteran group. What's not to like? And that's a game changer right there. So you have a talented ball carrier behind 4 really good linemen. Usually a good formula. But also the new quarterback, senior Carter Green. This kid had a 99-yard touchdown early, I think on the first play of the game or early in the game, in their week 0 win over Norwin. He ran for a couple more touchdowns. Talk about an athlete. He's going to be fun to watch. And the guy who's had to wait his turn, now he takes over. You have a junior tight end, Conlon Green. Carter spells it like the color in the Crayola box. Conlon spells with an extra E at the end. And he's the guy that's also going to be a breakout player as a defensive end linebacker on defense. Jack Jolly's back to anchor the middle of the defense, and he'll be another tight end that can get the ball. The receivers, be interesting, is Dan Torabella, the junior, and Seth Dunlap, a senior. Both are expected to take on those roles. And then Ian Demery is another senior looking for more. He scored in week zero. Again, look for him to be kind of a slot back ball carrier type of guy. And as long as somebody's going to help in the linebacking core. And then Dunlap, Green, Yakimelli, the secondary. So, again, Yakimelli's a star, but this team is deep. They're loaded, and they're strong, they're physical. Hard to not like that. Third and fourth will be Woody High and Franklin Regional. It's really hard to argue that. Woody High, they're trying to restore the program to where it's expected to be. And they're a team that it doesn't matter what their record is, doesn't matter what how they've been doing. Doesn't matter what the on stats or the paper, even what the film shows. Woody High is always a team you just don't want to play because they have guys who just get after it. They have the expectation, they have the experience, and they just know how to win games when it matters, and they know how to muck it up. But especially this year when they have experience, they tasted success last year. Now they're trying to build off that again, and they're gonna go as far as Deontay Williams takes them. He's a star dual threat quarterback. The guy's an animal. He came on the scene as a sophomore. Made it fun. Last year, he took them to the playoffs, and again, was fun to watch. This year now, expect huge things for him, especially with his classmate, Aris Siebels, who broke on last year, is back to power the run game. But then you look at the rest of it. The top three receivers and linemen graduated, so you have to have new faces stepping up if Woody High is able to make that deep push, as Darren Frazier Keys and junior Callum McDonough are going to anchor the offensive line. Star pass rusher Julian Jeffries is a big body that's expected to lead the defensive charge in the front seven. And then it's a matter of who's Deontay going to get the ball to? The answer is, of course, in Deontay Williams, expect him all over the place. He had an interception and a strip sack in week zero on defense. But back to offense, you know, he goes around Deontay. You have Seabless to help. Who's the receiver? How about one of those Jeanette transfers? Another one. Lewis Cowley III had a 99-yard catch on touchdown in week zero. Expect that to be a dynamic combo all season long. As well as slot back, Brandon Jones, who scored, receiver Angelo Reddix, they're going to be guys that are new playmakers of the offense. Well, you'll have Reddix, Jones, and Seabless in the linebacking core, Williams in the secondary with Callaway, and then a junior to watch, Devon McClinton in that secondary. But then another little interesting piece that maybe can allow Deontay to spread out wide and move around offense freely, sophomore quarterback Steve Jenkins transfers, comes from Amon, he started last year. Maybe down the road they get a little creative, and Jenkins takes snaps, he moves Deontay around, makes it dynamic if they need to or they get there. That's a maybe down the road. Franklin Regional, you have Lance Getzey take over as head coach, as Greg Botta finally retired after 27 incredible years there. So Getzey has a lot to replace, but a guy that's very familiar with this program, and honestly the right guy to rebuild it, retool it, and maintain the standard that Botta built. But Franklin Regional gone was their leading passer, rusher, and top three wideouts, as well as he was. But again, you have, and then out of that group, seven defensive starters are gone. So what do you do? Well, Caden Smith, who had a monster week zero, he leads them, top receiver, top defensive back, do-it-all guy. You have lineman Josh Pelosi, Brandon Gore, junior Andrew Nessler, that's going to give them some strength. Garrett Deller, who had a good year linebacking, he's back to anchor the defense. He also has a guy that carries an offense. Tyler Bazooka, expected to be the top running back. He also has some other guys. But the main thing is the quarterback position. It's wide open. There really was no definite answer. They might go with two guys this year. So they're still trying to figure that out in Franklin Regional. So actually looking at looking through some notes, the two quarterbacks that FR is going to use is junior Roman Sarnik and senior Connor Donnelly. So a couple years leading Charleroi, he put them into a winner. They had a really good run the 1 year, so a lot of excitement. Again, they crushed Plum in week zero. Right now, a lot of excitement for the Panthers, but again, it's still a young team. Four stars back on both sides. So FR again, the last couple years have been a case of, I mean, they're good, they're solid, but when it gets to the big boys, they've struggled. This year, it's hard to see FR be able to change the narrative when it gets to Gateway and Penn Trafford. But, you know, we'll see what they can do. I mean, high confidence in Getzey, high confidence in what they have with Kane Smith and the kind of the core they have. They're not, and it's one of those teams where it's not going to be easy. They're going to be a tough out, but I don't think they have enough to make a deep run. And then you look, Latrobe, the Wildcats try to go the upward climb. They've had success, but it hasn't panned out the way they want to. It's, of course, losing the trio of Tucker Knupp, Dylan Gustafson, and Landon Cards doesn't help.
Bud back as Bobby Fetter, dual threat quarterback, takes over the reins entirely. Drake Clayton's elite is a star linebacker. He now is a starting running back. Marco Mungozuo, again, I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. He's a veteran cover guy. Now he's going to be the leading wideout. Colin Stevens, Chase Sickenberger, two seniors that are looking to contribute more in both ways of the game as receivers, DBs. Kyle Brewer is a linebacker that's supposed to get carries, two for Latrobe. Tyler Lynch heads a line, and there's a bunch of other guys that are trying to get chance, opportunity to play. So Latrobe, they have the skill position, they have guys who can get things done. I mean, they hung a 61 up on Derry, but it's a matter of, do they have enough that they can go with? And again, same situation, you look at Gary Penn Trafford, probably overmatched. They gave Woody High fits last year, can they do it again this year? You know, I mean, you can't count them out, we're only, you know, not even a week into the season. But it's a matter of, there's four playoff spots, the Latrobe FR game is a game to circle for both sides, because I think they're both in similar boats. And at Connorsville, they hire in Bill Maxocco, I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, as a Falcons, 7 wins in just 5 years, something needs to change. Gone is Gage Gillette and Kyron Kurgate, who are the starting quarterback and running backs. So, now what do you do? The bright side, you have 4 veteran linemen under the new coach who's trying to instill new culture and kind of bring back the old tradition. Colin Lynch is a great guy to anchor that group. They also have a trio of juniors led by Bailey Kennedy. So, again, that's a bright side for the Falcons. Then they also have the pass rush on defense. But the new signal caller, it's between sophomore Anthony Piasecki or freshman Graydon Gillette. Again, either way, it's a young guy you expect to have for the next couple years in your program, another positive going forward. Sophomore Bruce Giles is a young player poised to start and take over in the running back spot. Within the veterans, though, come in the receivers with Jason McBride, Josh Marietta, who's a tight end, and Gabe Rougerie. So the young quarterback's going to have 3 guys who know what they're doing to try to get the ball towards. Senior George Schultz, the man in the middle of the defense, he's also going to get some carries. And then again, the aforementioned players, receivers, also be defensive backs. Marietta's going to help the pass rush. So at Connorsville, you have a little bit of a mix between veterans and not so much, but a lot of young guys. And again, Connorsville, you really don't expect much from this year. But I think it's a matter of getting these younger guys experience, getting them gelled, taking advantage of your veterans to kind of help the learning curve. Then maybe the next year, next 2 years, they can be back to being a serious player in the thick of things. And then last but not least, the Northern Conference, Northeast Conference. Always get the name mixed up. I guess it is the Northeast Conference. You have Pine Ridgeland, Penn Hills, North Hills, Kiski, Shaler, and Fox Chapel in this conference. So, starting it up, Pine Ridgeland, let's talk about defending undefeated state champions. They've been the premier program, the top dogs in all the Whippy over the last 5-6 years, year in, year out, of course. But the man who's led that, Eric Kasparovich, got let go back in April. Him and his entire staff were released. Coach K, Coach Casper, and a lot of fallout came from that. You know, and normally, we talk about them trying to go back to back and some win streak, and said it's been focused on how that all went out. In addition to all the drama and everything, and the rightful community uproar, 17 players graduated, including Cole Spencer, Miguel Jackson, Eli Yockum. You also have new coach Steve Campos trying to take over the program. So if you're PR, what do you do? Well, you turn to a senior quarterback, Cole Boyd, who finally gets his turn to lead the offense and kind of settle it down. You have the third best receiver back, Alex Gokies, and these two had a heck of a connection in week 0 with connecting for 3 touchdowns and over 100 yards. Jeremiah Hasley, who's a star linebacker going to Duke. He's your second returning receiver that's there. And then junior Andrew Mellis, a kid to watch against you. 3 good receivers to get the ball to in the spread attack. Brooks Eastburn broke onto the scene midway through last year in the playoffs. He's back now as the lead running back. So again, it's a case of some new faces, but guys who have produced, guys who've tasted, now they're the full-time guys that get the job done. They're up there. And then the line play is phenomenal. You have Jalen Clem, who's going to finally start, but he's highly touted. Sam Green, Junior Isaiah Kearns are all there. You also have Jake Domer as an option. And Domer's more on the defensive side of things. Connor Lenz is a pass rusher to help kind of fill the void of losing Miguel Jackson. And then alongside Hazley's junior, Max Heckert, who's getting some interest a little bit.
And in the back, Gokies and Eastburn guide the secondary. So, you say it like that, kind of put your feet relaxed a little bit if you're Pine Richland. You lose to Harrisburg in week zero in a hard-fought game and a hot human day against a physical team. You can't get upset about that and throw it away. So, Pine Richland, until somebody beats them, especially in this conference, it's hard to pick against them. But there is enough to say you can't just put them as the number one team to beat entering the season, though, too. You look at Penn Hills, a couple years removed from a state title of their own. They've kind of, you know, wavered a little bit of success, but there's a lot of optimism coming into 2021 for them. And then you got the Duggar brothers. Jaden's a senior receiver defensive back, and his brother Julian, sophomore quarterback on the rise, second-year starter already, a lot to be excited about. And then Amir Key, another freshman who was forced into a starting role. Now he's the lead running back as a sophomore, and he showed some promise. So this could be a duo we talk about for the next 3 years. They should be very excited in panels about this. And another player that's going to break out is junior defensive back Rayon Strader. Had fun talking to him on Saturday. This guy could maybe get some touches on offense too. He'll be in the secondary. And then the line play, you get veteran leadership out of Luke Pugliese. And then a couple juniors that are expected to do things are linebacker Jameer Brown, defensive lineman Daquan Lewis, and then you have a senior defensive back receiver Chase Barney ready to kind of make a larger name. So again, Penn Hills, you have talent, you have guys with experience, you also have young guys who are ready to take on more. It'll be interesting. Like, I really like Coach Dr. John Lindon a lot. Trust him, and I think, you know, it might be some hits and misses the first couple weeks, but I think Penn Hills, come conference time, will be ready to go, and I think they are legitimate to challenge for the conference title. Then you have North Hills and Kiski area, and you can make a case for either one of these teams to make a run at the conference title, to be second place, and to be a legitimate playoff team. You also can make a case for them to be fourth. And we're going to look at North Hills first, and of course, we went there to watch in week zero. Robert Dickerson, an absolute stud. Broke onto the scene as a junior. Now he's one of the top players in the Whippy, and there's no doubt about it. This guy accelerates like no other. Leading receiver, star defensive back, dynamic return man, what's not to like. He's a top receiver for quarterback dual threat junior John Green. Watching this kid in his first varsity start, there's a lot to like. Love his poise, love his energy, nice kid to talk to, and he's a good ball player. So I think, and he's only going to get better as the season goes on. So, I mean, a lot to be excited about for North Hills to have those two guys. Liam Tracy had a monster week zero game. He's the lead rusher. And then the line, you have Chris Kopp, Logan Greer, and then the Quinn brothers, Colin and Dylan. So you got experience, so what's not to like? And then you also have Logan Johnson, who's expected to make a name on offense as well. And then you have Chase Foskey in the secondary to go with Tracy and flank Dickerson. And again, Foskey, that guy maybe get some touches as the year goes on. The linebackers, you have the duo of Alec Apodaca and Tanner Ilanicki, two veterans there that are fierce. And then two guys that can kind of make a name, senior wideout C.J. Walls, and then junior slot back, defensive back, return guy Cooper Thompson. So two guys kind of watch out for if you're the Indians. And again, good case of North Hills, there's a lot of pressure, a lot of expectation there with their history and Pat Carey being a North Hills guy. And again, it's been a struggle the last 5, 6, 7 years for them. It's been also they won a playoff game. So this group though has enough talent. They're dynamic. They got the pizzazz to make the playoffs for sure, and to be a liable team that can make a run and maybe even be a dark horse all around. And then we go to Kiski area. It's kind of like a very similar script because the Cavaliers have a lot of talent coming back. As Brandon Longhorn Moore, one of the top guys in the Whippiole, he's a two-way lineman. He headlines a veteran group. As you have Sam Coleman and junior Brandon Mika next to him. Behind them is going to be talented linebacker, turn running back Brock Wilkins. The guy's just a monster, but he also can be moved around a tight end in our spots on offense. So they're going to try to get other guys to carry the ball to kind of allow him to move around. As Spellingham's going to be another good linebacker, two other good linebackers, Braden Dunmire and Matt Hilty. Hilty also could be a bit of a receiver, so they got versatility. But it's crazy that you have three really good linebackers who are also all able to get the ball and do something with it. And then the QB position's up for grabs. Senior Logan Johnson, junior LeBryn Smith, both took snaps a year ago, both are back. Both are versatile guys who can do a bunch of things. One of them's going to take snaps, the other will be moved around on offense. So again, you got talent that's plausible there. But then the star receiver, Calvin Heinle, who broke out a year ago, is back for a big senior year. So again, this offense looks really good. It's kind of like all over the place in a good way. But then defensively, it's even better. Because like I said, you have Wilkins, Dunmire, Hilty in the middle. And then you have Heinle and Johnson Lee in the secondary. And then you got that group of linemen up front. So it's going to be fun. You got guys who've tasted and they were close a year ago. This year, be ready for them to be physical. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be flashy. But it should be good, sound, solid football under Coach Sam Albert. And then you look at the other two, Fox Chapel and Shaler. Fox Chapel, Kylie Patterson, a lot's going to rely on him with the departure of the senior class and the transfer Lorenzo Jenkins. He's going to be doing everything, top receiver, carries, maybe even some quarterbacking, as well as his role on defense. And then Colin Deeds, he'll be the other one taking snaps at quarterback, whatever Patterson's moving around. Zadane Thomas is a linebacker, or defensive back, but he's going to become the leading running back. Senior Colin Kajtanowski is going to be a receiver that needs the help. And then Caleb Kolkowski, Junior Roman Mason, will help the lines on both sides, as well as Jason Anderson, who's 6'5". But it's a case of just Fox Chapel. Do they have enough? It's kind of been more of a rebuild for them, trying to turn it around. And then you have Shaler, the Titans, trying to avoid another winless campaign. They did that, actually, week zero victory over Newcastle, so they got a win, check it off. And talking to Josh Miller, maybe it's a confidence booster. Maybe that's what they need to surprise people. Because Dom Rossi's back at quarterback. Josh Miller, like I said, is going to be the leading rusher and defensive back. Junior Luke Singanetti's going to see carries and be a role in the middle of the defense. Rossi could move around on offense. Maybe spend more time as a slot back receiver if sophomore Keegan Smateka is ready to take over the quarterback role. And going forward, that would probably be better for Shaler to do that. Senior Dylan Schlegel is going to be a talented receiver defensive back for them as well. And then you have Logan Bessemer, Logan Douglas back in the trenches. The defense does not have depth, though. So you have Singetti, Miller, and Rossi leading the three phases of defense. But again, the defense not deep. That's going to be their handcuff. But again, they should be more respectful. They Shaler did get a win this year. That's the positive side. So look at it, 5A, the predicted order of finishes. We'll go back to the Allegheny 6. We have Moon, number 1, and they're the number 4 ranked team in 5A. USC is behind them, and they're number 5 in our rankings. Then we have Pierce Township, West A, South Fan, and Bethel Park. And the Big East, we have Gateway winning it, and they're also the number 1 team in 5A. Penn Trafford, we have number 2 and in 2nd place. Woody High, Franklin Regional, round out 3 and 4. Latrobe, Connellsville, 5 and 6. And then in the Northeast Conference, Parchland, we have number 3 in our rankings, number 1 in the conference. Penn Hills behind them, then we have Kiski, North Hills, followed by Fox Chapel and Shaler. But again, 5A, it's really deep. Again, the Allegheny 6, any one of those teams can make a push and compete at the top of the conference. The Big East, Gateway and Penn Trafford, the Big 2. Woody High, if they can get some help around Deontay, be a little more solid on defense, protect the ball, they can be a dark horse to win that. Franklin Angel, I think, is the most solid out of the remaining conference in the Northeast. Pirate Shields, Sony beats them, proven otherwise. And again, they have a lot back. They're going to be really good. But it's a matter of all the drama and the turnover, and no more Casper, and all those coaches are gone. At some point, you figure there has to be some type of overlap. It's just a matter of when and how big. But again, credit to the seniors and the returning players if they're able to overcome that. More credit to them, is that I couldn't imagine being in that position, being 16, 17, 18 years old, and having the system just totally just turned around when there's really no reason for it, as well as dealing with all the stuff they've had to deal with. So if anything, the community should rally around behind those players. But then Penn Hills, you wonder how solid they could be. And then the other two, Kiski, North Hills, both third and fourth, both can challenge for the top of the conference. I think those four are going to be fun to watch. I think it's going to be closer than what it's been since realignment happened. So that's in a nutshell. Of course, to check out the entire 5A preview of names, stats, players, our preseason all-conference picks, guys to watch, and then our rankings for the senior and junior sophomore classes, check out our season guide. It's available at cover3athletics.wixsite.com/westpa. It's cover, the number 3 athletics in the address bar. Check out our Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. It's all together. There's the entire guide's free, available PDF version on our website, as well as our social media. So enjoy it as a whole. Hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll talk soon.